Amen. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I think I'll go by and inspect and see how the pages are worn. I'm just kidding. Not going to do it. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Amen. But the devil doesn't like us being people of the Word, does he? No, he wants to, you know, he wants to get you to kind of rock you to sleep. You know? You know, just kind of, things aren't bad, but they aren't great, but they aren't too bad. And, you know, so, you know, why disturb a sleeping dog, as I used to say. But listen, I want to encourage you, you know, and especially after this morning, I hope I light a fire under you if you don't already have one. Light a fire in you, because I want to talk to you about your ministry. I want to talk to you about your ministry. Christianity is not a spectator sport, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's not a spectator religion. And you know, it's not just, you know, there are times when we need to come apart. Brother Rick mentioned about the fasting and prayer. There are things like that that we need to do. We need to get in the Word. We need to be studying. We need to be people of prayer. We need to come apart. We need that. But also, there is activity. And that activity has to do with your ministry. You have a ministry in God. Say this. Say, I have a ministry. Did you know that already?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Turn, if you will, to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 16. We're going to talk about your ministry. Now, we know that here in the church, you see different people do different things. Some people are teaching the children. Some people are on the worship team, ushering, all kinds of different things. I won't get into all the things because there's a lot of things that people do. But that's not per se what I'm talking about when I say you have a ministry. Now, that's important, and that could fall under this in a broad sense. But what I'm talking about this morning is not just about whether or not, you know, you're teaching a children's class or an adult class or you got a small group. All that's good and that's important. But I want to talk about it in a little bit more broad sense, because you know what? Maybe not all of us teach. Maybe not all of us minister to the children. Maybe not all of us are an usher or can sing or play an instrument. But you know what? You still have a ministry. And I'm going to read to you from the words of Jesus what your ministry is. And we're going to recommission you this morning into your ministry. And here's the thing. Let me say this. You will be responsible to God for your ministry. Not just the preachers, they will be too, but you will be responsible for your own ministry before God. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Then when they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place hands on the sick people, and they will get well."
Amen.
I just read to you some of the things about your ministry. So we're going to look at this in a little more detail, and then we're going to have a recommissioning service, because these are the things. Listen, what I just read here, he said, these things are what? For those who believe. We got any believers in here? Any believe? What about the rest of y'all? We need an altar call right now. We got believers in here this morning. So this is your ministry. Now notice he said the first part of our ministry is what? Is that we're to what? Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is just it. It is the good news, isn't it? Turn, if you will, you can keep your finger there if you want to, but turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We're talking about your ministry, the ministry God has given to every believer. Romans 1:16, Paul is writing, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." How about you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now notice this. He says, this gospel is the power of God. Now sometimes, you know, we think about, well, you know, an anointing, when there's a special anointing or a type of anointing that's strong, and we think about that being the power of God, and rightly so. We think about, you know, the working of the Spirit in healing and miracles, and we think about that as the power of God, and rightly so. But you know that he said here, this gospel is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite, the explosive power of God is in this gospel. That means it has the power to save, and this word save here is an all-inclusive word. Comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O is a root word, and it means the power to save, forgive, heal, deliver, set free, anything you need. And so when you share the gospel, the what we call the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what you're dealing with? You're dealing with the dunamis of God. I think sometimes, even in full gospel circles, sometimes we take the Word of God for granted sometimes. I think we take the message of this gospel for granted sometimes. We've heard it so much. We've read it. We've preached it. We've taught it. We've heard it on CD, on DVD, on satellite. We've been to conferences. We've been to seminars. We've been to retreats, advances, everything. We've heard it so much, and that's good. I'm certainly not criticizing us for being in the Word so much, but sometimes it can become so commonplace, so familiar, that we forget that it has a power in it. These words may look like as similar to other words, but these words, the gospel is different. This gospel is God-breathed. What does that mean? It means that God breathed into this message His Spirit, His power. And when you read and preach and share this message with others, what happens is that power becomes released into other people's lives. If you share the gospel about forgiveness of sins, guess what's going to happen? Forgiveness of sins. If you share that gospel message about healing, guess what's going to happen? Healing. If you share the gospel message about deliverance from the satanic power and authority, you know what's going to happen? Deliverance is going to come. Why? Because it is in this gospel. And that is your message, believer. That is your ministry, that you would first of all share the gospel. You say, well, I don't know. Listen, do not try to share the gospel the way that I preach to you on Sundays. Amen. That's where we mess up sometimes. We think, well, you know, I can't preach it like, you know, brother so-and-so, or teach it like sister so-and-so or whatever. Listen, people don't want an hour message. If you will just listen. Listen to people around you. You know what? They're going to tell you where they're hurting. And not only that, if you'll listen, be sensitive, the Holy Spirit will show you. So either you will hear them when they talk, you'll hear what's going on. You know, when people come and unload their troubles to you, you know what? Don't run away from that. The reason I say that is I understand that. Sometimes you want to, don't we? Think, dear God, I got all the problems I can handle right now. Last thing I need is yours. But here's the thing. Let's be sensitive and realize, you know what? God's given us an opportunity to exercise our ministry. Amen. And you know, you don't have to preach them a big sermon. You can just tell them, look, Jesus will help you. That's right. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? How many remember that? Remember he was walking on the water for a little bit? And then it says, beginning to sink. And Peter prayed this big, long prayer, didn't he? Jesus, save me. That's all he said. You read it. Three words. Three words. Jesus, save me. You know, sometimes that's all you got to tell. Look, God knows, God cares, and God will do something. You don't have to quote him 1,500 scriptures. Just share, you know, maybe share one scripture, but you can just tell him, look, God cares, and I care. I'm going to pray for you. And God says, He says, if you'll pray, I'll hear. And if He hears, He'll answer. And God will move in your circumstance. See, that's your ministry. And you know, if they say, well, you know, I feel funny about you praying right here. Just say, well, I'll tell you what. When I get in my car going home, or I get in my prayer closet, I'm going to pray about that. I want you to know I'm going to pray about that. And you watch what God does. There's all kind of ways. But he said this gospel, we have to realize, we have to value and appreciate it. Really, we need to renew our appreciation for this gospel. Because he said it's got power in it. It's got power in it. Amen. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. That's got power in it. Jesus will forgive all your sins. That has power in it. We need to share that. Let's don't take it for granted. That's the first thing Jesus said. He said, go into all the world. Well, here's the thing. You know where the world starts? It starts right outside your front door, doesn't it? It starts with the person in the donut shop where you stop, or the coffee shop. It starts, you know, in the office where you work around the cooler. It starts on the job site. It starts wherever it may be. You know, but it starts. And, you know, as soon as we go out in the mornings, we ought to be in that mode where, okay, man, my ministry has begun. And listen, let me just share this with you. This is where Christianity becomes real and exciting and thrilling and faith-filled. You know, they wrote a book about one man, John Lake, and the title of his book was Adventures in God. Don't you? I love that title. Amen? Could you write your own little book saying about your adventures in God? I'm going to tell you what, if you can, great. If you can't, you can start today by realizing this. I have a ministry. And you know what? This ministry, it's not given to you by the pastor. It's not given to you by some preacher. It's given to you by Jesus, the head of the church. I said, it's given to you by Jesus, the head of the church. I remember Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, gone on to be with the Lord now. Years ago, he said, Jesus appeared to him in a vision. And he told him, he said, when I get ready to call somebody and anoint them, he said, I don't have to ask the church to vote on it. He said, I'm the head of the church. Amen? You say, yeah, but my family don't think, I mean, you just don't know where I'm. Listen, Jesus is the head of the church. And he said, go, for you, the believer, to go share the gospel in your world. He didn't say, when you get it all together, when you're perfect, when you don't have any problems yourself, when everything is just hunkadory in your world, then you go. If that were the case, he knew nobody'd ever go. Amen? We're not justified. Sure, we want to grow. Sure, we want to get whole. But you know, Jesus said, he didn't say go deep. He said go out. Well, I just got to get God to do a deeper work in me. Well, we thank God we want God to do a deeper work. But in the meantime, go out. You know, his disciples, Jesus sent out his disciples, and they went out and shared the gospel. They laid hands on the sick. They cast out devils. They had miracles. And they were still squabbling about who was going to be top dog in Jesus' ministry. It's true. Remember that? One of them even got his mama involved. Oh, Lord, we don't want to go there, do we? You remember the story, don't you? Mama came to you and said, hey, how about letting my boy be top dog? I'm paraphrasing, but that's today's lingo. That's what she was saying. But you know what? It didn't keep God from using them, did it? God used them. They came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. Well, it wasn't because they were apostles and had it all together. You read over there in Acts 15, they were still bound up with a whole bunch of stuff. See, we got this idea, in the church. Oh, when I get to be just absolutely perfect, got all my ducks in a row, and I ain't got no more problems, and I got victory in every area of my life, then God can use me. Lord, honey. Listen, let me give a clue to you. That will be heaven, and nobody up there will need your ministry then. Start right now. Start right now. How many remember Job in the Old Testament? Remember Job, boy? Job had some problems, didn't he? Boy, you ever felt like Job sometime? I mean, it was like one thing after another thing after another thing. Just slamming you. Man, I remember Cindy and I, man, we come off the mission field. I mean, we'd been on the mission field. We gave away and sold everything. Went on the mission field for God. Boy, how wonderful we were. And yet, you know what? We got back off the mission field. Broke. Didn't have a job. Cindy got diagnosed with cancer. I was in a car wreck that totally wiped out the only car we had. We had no insurance. It was just one thing after another thing. You've been there? Where it just seemed like, man, I mean, bang, bang, bang. You know, and the easiest thing in that situation is to just pull into your little shell and just pull in behind the walls of the fort, you know what I mean? And try to hold on and hold out. But you know what? Cindy and I knew different. We just kept on. I mean, right in the midst of the battles, we just kept on saying, God, I'll give you the victory. Bless God, greater is He that's in me. And I'm telling you, the God that's in me will help you too. When I pray, God's going to... Listen, God will use... Said Job, says when he prayed for the deliverance of his friends, what happened to Job? He got healed and delivered himself. See, we get that reverse sometimes, don't we? Well, as soon as I get, God does something in my life, then I'll go and pray for somebody else. That's not what Job did. He says, God, and God told him to. He said, now here, you're not going to get your deliverance until what? You first pray. Why? Because what? Faith operates by love. Do you know that? Galatians 6:5. Do we need to turn over there? Write that down. Faith worketh by love. We're still talking about your ministry. We're talking about sharing the gospel. Gospel is the power of God. He didn't say you're the power of God. He said the gospel is. Did you hear me? He said the gospel is. Amen. So when you share the gospel, guess what? Guess what? When you share the gospel, what's going to happen? There's power. See, we got an idea, oh, it's all dependent on me. No, it's the gospel that has the power. Amen. The gospel is the power of God. So here's the thing. With all of your imperfections, with all of your problems that you may have, you know what? God still expects you to execute your ministry, to share the gospel. Amen. And you know, what Cindy and I found out over the years is many times the battles that we're going through, God will bring people by our path that's going through the same kind of problems, and bless God, we're able to minister to them and see them get set free. And see God answer and work in their lives. And you know what that does for us? Bless God, that encourages me. Because I think, glory to God. God's no respecter of person. If He set them free, bless God, He's working on mine too. Mine's on the way. And see that, but see what? Faith works by love. I'm not, you know, whenever we're facing problems in our life, the easiest thing, like I said, to do is we want to get all caught up in them, don't we? In our own little self. But God says, you break out of that thing. And He says, you go into all your world and you share the gospel. The dunamis of God. Then he notice what he says. He goes on and he talks about some other things that has to do with our ministry. He said, in my name, they're going to drive out devils. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know where we got it in the body of Christ, but most that I've talked to over the years, even spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost people are afraid of demons. They are. They're afraid of demons. They're afraid when demons act up. They're afraid to confront demons. They're afraid to do anything. But yet those same people, you'll preach about John, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And they'll shout and jump a chair. Well, the time to shout and jump the chair is when you're right there driving out the demon. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, I just quoted it, but in 1 John 4:4, doesn't he say, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world? Well, who's in the world? Satan and demonic spirits. Isn't that right? Didn't we read over in Colossians 2 where it says that Jesus has dethroned them? That when he ascended, maybe we better turn over there. Sometimes I assume we know things. Turn over to Colossians 2. Let's read it. Because we're talking about your ministry. Some of you have been praying to God, oh God, show me what my ministry is. Well, he's answering your prayer. Are y'all still out there? You gone home already? Just checking. Look here. We'll just read one verse. You can read. Go back and read this whole chapter. Verse 15, 2:15 of Colossians. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And then there, he in talking about your ministry in Mark 16, that's the reason why he said, you go drive them out. You go drive. He's already disarmed them. Well, bless God. I'd get in the ring with the heavyweight boxing champion of the world if he didn't have no arms. Isn't that right? Glory to God, bring it on. I like the way this fight's set up. Isn't that right? He's disarmed them. He's dethroned them. In other words, he says, you know, here's the thing. If you just put your foot down in the name of Jesus and use the authority, they got to go. They got to go because what? They've already been dealt the death blow at Calvary on the cross. The death blow by Jesus was put to them. And he said, now they don't have any power and authority. You've just got to stand up to them. Amen. But even a no-armed man, you know, can take over if you just abdicate. Isn't that right? Come on in, sit down. He's sitting there. He ain't got any arms, but he keeps saying boo and you keep running. Boo. Listen, he said, in my name, drive out the devil. Now, here's the thing. You've got to first be able to know what's the devil. I mean, you know, most of the time you don't see the devil with your physical eyes, do you? Maybe if the Lord wills at times, discerning of spirits, you might see into the spirit realm. But most of the time, that's not the way that we recognize it. We have to what? We have to discern the spirit, the activity of the spirit, don't we? Isn't that true? And you know, here's why we need to know the Word of God, isn't it? Because as we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, we can tell whether or not that is the devil or whether or not it's God. And there's a lot of confusion, even in full gospel circles, about what's God and what's the devil. And I mean, after all, I sure don't want to be found, you know, fighting God, do you? I don't want to fight God. I'm on God's side. I mean, you know, He's not on my side. I'm on His side. You know, there is a difference. We're on His side. He's not on my side or your side. We're on His side. Amen. Sometimes we act as though God's on my side. That means I set the agenda and God comes along. No, we're on God's side. He sets the agenda and we go along. Isn't that right? And so we have to understand. We have to be able to discern that activity. Now, the Word of God, we need to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. But here's the thing. How many of you know the character of God? The character of God. If you will learn and come to understand through the Word and the Holy Spirit that lives in you, the character of God, you can discern a whole lot of things. Jesus said this. You know, we say this all the time. We sang it this morning. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. If it ain't good, it ain't. Come on. And don't put none of that Christian spin on it. Trying to make, you know. The Bible says, you know, one of the signs in the last day is that men would call evil good and good evil. Well, we're seeing that happen a lot, aren't we? Just heard it out in California, didn't we? They want to call good evil and evil good. But you know what? Even in this church, we can do that. Oh, well, that's, you know, well, that sickness, that's God because He's trying to teach you something. Well, you're not going to resist it if He's trying to teach you something. And stop going to the doctor. What's the matter with you? That sickness is from God and you're trying to get the doctor to get you out from under it? You'd be out of the will of God. See how silly that is? On the one hand, we say, well, you know, God's trying to teach you something, so we're not really going to pray for healing, or we'll just pray, you know, if God, if it be your will. But all the time, we'll go to the hospital and go to the doctor, get a team of specialists. And you know I'm not against doctors, but can you see the hypocrisy in that? Yeah. On the one hand, we're saying it's the will of God. On the other hand, we're trying to get somebody to get us out from under it. If it's the will of God, stay in it. Isn't that right? I don't want to be out of the will of God. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is that's foolish, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
See, even an unsaved doctor knows that sickness and disease is an enemy of man. You'll never get me. You'll never get me to agree with you that sickness is ever good. If that's the case, there's going to be a whole lot of it in heaven. Isn't that right? Going to be a whole lot in heaven. Boy, it's quiet in here. Am I messing with one of your sacred cows? So God's, but how's God going to teach us? Well, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is the teacher. When He has come, He will teach you. Man, you're sick and in pain, and that's all you can think about. It's kind of hard to be taught. Get me delivered, then I'll listen. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus went around what? He went around preaching, teaching, and healing. And He said, you have a ministry. And He said, here's your ministry. He said, you're going to drive out devils. So when you see an activity going on there, and it is contrary to God's character, to God's word, to God's kingdom, then you know right away, there is some kind of demonic activity here, and I can drive it out. That is part of my ministry. Glory to God. You say, but, you know, Brother Hagin never laid hands on me, but Brother so-and-so never laid hands on me. It don't matter. Jesus laid His hand on you when you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have Jesus' hand laid on me any day. Isn't that right? He's the head of the church. He has the Spirit without measure. He has the anointing without measure. Glory to God. And He's put His hand on you. He's commissioned you. He said, you didn't, find me. I found you. And I have ordained you to bring forth fruit. So He says, go drive out devils. Look in Luke 10 real quickly here. I'm reminding you, or if you didn't know this, and it's new to you, but if not, I'm reminding you, you have a ministry, and this is what it is. Luke 10:19, Jesus was speaking here. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So He says, I've given you power. And authority. He said, over all the works of the enemy. So here's the thing. What are we doing with it? Well, I was just waiting for God to do something. Be like me giving you a brand new car. So you could come to church. We never see you come to church. I said, I call you up and said, well, what's going on? Well, I just thought, you know, if you wanted me to come to church, you'd come over here and crank the car up and drive me to church and take me back home. Well, no, I left the keys in the car with you. I gave you that authority. You go crank the car and come to church. Or go buy groceries or go to work or whatever you got to do. You go do it. Isn't that right? You've got the keys. He said, I've given you the keys of authority. He said, now you go. See, a lot of times we want God to come down and do it. Oh, God, do something with the devil. He already has. We read that in Colossians 2 at Calvary, the death blow. He said, He will respond if you'll stand up and use the keys of authority in my name. Amen. So if you see sickness, you see fear, you see depression, you see worry, you see all those things, listen, behind that is a demonic spirit. Now, we're not saying somebody's got a devil, per se, but there's demonic activity behind that. And He said, you need to drive that thing out. Amen. Some kind of addiction. Drive that thing out. Sit around there. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, if you keep talking like that, He's going to stay right there is what He's going to do. Isn't that right? I mean, if you went home today after church and you realize that somehow some old mangy dog had somehow you left the door open, a window, or somehow he'd got in there, and his old dirty mangy dog in there wallowing around in your house, what would you do? Call all the saints and say, pray that this dog will leave my house. Where's Brother Rick? Rick, Brother Rick, you're one of the elders. Come on to my house and run this dog out. You know what? No. You know, if you called me, I'd say, run the stupid dog out. Get the broom or something and run him out. Isn't that right? Same thing with the devil. You don't need me to come over or one of the elders to come over or get 1,700 saints to pray. Listen, you got the authority. Run him out. That's part of your ministry. And not only for yourself, you can help somebody else that don't know that. You say, but they're not even saved. That's all right. Bless God. You run the devil off of them. Bless God. They'll be able to get saved. My goodness. In the church, we can be so stingy sometimes. Well, I know God ain't going to bless them. As if you got it all together. You old self-righteous person. I know God ain't going to bless them. I mean, you know, I seen him light up a cigarette. Come on. Oh, yeah. We want to speak for God, don't we? Well, God wants to help them. He wants to help you too. Amen. You know, some things are obvious. Others are hidden. So let's don't be too quick to point the fingers, right? Let's use our ministry and the authority Jesus has got. Let's lift people. Let's help people. Let's help them get set free. Let's don't condemn them. Lord of mercy, if I'm struggling with a load and you come alongside and add another load on there to help me, please don't help me no more. You ever been around some folks and you want to say that? Don't help me no more. I've had all the help I can handle from you. Oh, Lord. We've heard the old story, the proverbial story about the straw that broke the camel's back. And a lot of times in Christian ministry, that's what we're doing. We're adding to the burdens. That's what Jesus said about the religious Pharisees of his day. He said, all you do is put heavier burdens on people, but you don't help set anybody free. And we need to look at our ministry as believers and say, okay, what am I ministering? The gospel is good news. Is it good news what I'm telling people? Well, God ain't going to help you. God's liable to break your leg, teach you something, give you a car wreck, foreclose on your house. Then you'll learn. Dear God in heaven, thank you for all that good news. If I wanted that, I could have just turned on the cable news. Amen? All right, we got to move along. I want to get to one in particular. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? They shall lay hands on the sick. I'm talking about your ministry. I guarantee you, in our day and age, you won't go a day without running into somebody that's sick. Come on. At work, in your neighborhood, relatives, co-workers, whatever. There's people everywhere. I guarantee you, they're going to be sick. You say, yeah, but I'm battling something myself. Well, remember what we said about Job. Hello? Said that when Job prayed for his friends, he got his deliverance. Amen? So here's the thing. He said, lay hands on the sick. So here's your ministry. All you got to do is find somebody sick. Everybody, how many of you got hands? Let's see them. Hands? Most of you have. Others will pray for you. You got hands. You got hands. He said, look at your hands just a minute. He said, now, God said, take these hands. Look at your hands while I'm talking. These hands can be laid on the sick. And God said they recover. Those little old two things at the end of your arms. He said, lay them on the sick. That's all you got to do. How many of you know how to do that? He didn't even say, it's just in general instructions. He wasn't all that specific. We get all, well, should I lay them here? He just said, put your hands on them. Didn't he? How many of you know when your hands are on them? Sure you do. And he said, you do that in my name. And then he said, what's going to happen? He didn't say, if you pray some great superlative prayer to God. But here's that. He just said, lay hands on the sick. You can just tell people, look, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, as a believer, I could lay hands on you and he would heal you. Yes. Oh. Yes. But what if he don't? What if he don't? Well, listen, if you've caught the case of the what ifs, you need to get back into the Word for a little bit. Amen? See, faith is not spelt just with an I and an F. there's some other letters in there. See, here's the thing. So Jesus, I remember hearing this too, story from Dad Hagin, Brother Hagin. He said that Jesus appeared to him and had told him, he said, you know, now, when you pray for people and you command that thing to go out in my name, it'll go. So he was in a big meeting. And he was up there and he had people coming up, you know, on the, you know, to the altar and everything. He was praying for them. And he's praying for them. And, you know, he's coming up sick and leaving sick. Coming up bound, leaving bound. And he's like, oh, boy. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He said, all of a sudden, Jesus just kind of appeared right over to the, like, his right there. And he said, because he'd just been trying to cast out a devil. And he said, he talked to the Lord. He said, Jesus said, do you remember what I told you about, you know, if you do this in my name, they'd go? He said, yes, Lord. He said, I did it, but they didn't go. He said, yeah, but I said they would. Yeah, but Lord, they didn't. Yeah, but I said they would. He said, but he kept arguing with the Lord. Don't look so shocked. Some of y'all do that.
That's right.
You argue with this. And you know, that's the way some of us are sometimes. Yeah, I know you said that, Lord, but they didn't go. But I said they would. Yeah, but Lord, they didn't. But I said they would. In other words, which one are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that this ministry you have, he said, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Then, you know, somebody is telling the truth and somebody is lying. So we have to determine. Who are we going to believe? And he said, you lay hands on the sick. Man, we've laid hands on thousands of people over the years. See, marvelous things happen. You know what? If you're not doing it already, you ought to do it. And if you are doing it, just keep it up. Lay hands on the sick. My job as a believer is what? Lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name. God's job is to do the healing. And here's what I do. I tell people, I said, I'm going to tell you what, when I lay hands on you, God's going to heal you. I don't equivocate. I don't give them an out. I don't try to protect God. You know, after all, if God can't do it, I want to make sure that people don't think bad about God. Come on. You read over there. I don't have time. I'm going to read, write down these scriptures real quick. You read them later because we don't have time to read them now. Mark 6:5. Mark 6:2. Mark 8:23-25. And one we have got time to read. We're going to turn over to Luke 13:13. Turn over there just a minute. We're going to read this one. You read the others when you get home. We're talking about you have a ministry. You know why you have a ministry? Because you have an anointing. You have an anointing. The Holy Ghost lives in you. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak with other tongues, you've got the dunamis of God. Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Did you? Did you? What are you doing with it? That power, what, is for ministry. That power, that dunamis, is for ministry. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come on you. Now look in Luke 13:13. It says here, well, let's back up to verse 12. When Jesus saw her, the woman that was bent over. Well, let's back up to verse 11. A woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. He put his hands on her. Listen, you need to put your hands on people who are sick. Man, you ought to be you ought to be looking. Glory to God. Looking for somebody sick. You don't have to look far. And then just lay your hands on them in Jesus' name. You say, well, then what I do? Look for the next one. Look for the next one. Isn't that right? I guarantee you, I bet right now, how many of you know more than one person that's sick? Boy, that was a no-brainer, wasn't it? So what? We've got a ministry. Now, he said in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is on you, and you will be what? Witnesses. My witnesses. My witnesses. My witnesses. Preaching the gospel. Driving out devils. Laying hands on the sick. That is the purpose of the baptism. Not the full, but a big part of the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you'll receive dunamis, power, miraculous working ability. And listen, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you have that power and ability upon you, and you are anointed. And here's the thing, if you will dare to obey and just do what Jesus said here, you will preach, share the gospel, you will drive out devils, you will lay hands on the sick. You know what? Your walk of faith will become so exciting, you will start your own book, your own personal book about adventures in God. And you know what? Then we get together and we start talking about, boy, God healed this one. God set that one free. And then this one said, yeah, but let me tell you about it. And somebody else, wait a minute. Let me tell you about it. You get around a group of people that starts talking about all the things that God's been doing this week. The people that's been healed, set free, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and all. You tell me, you're going to be bored. Instead, we get together and talk about all our trials and troubles and tribulations. And then we get together and tribulate a while. Come over to my house and let's tribulate. Well, we know they're tests and trials, but listen, there ought to be some victories being shared somewhere. There ought to be some miracles coming forth somewhere. There ought to be some power of God flowing out of some saint somewhere, dear God in heaven, hadn't there? And it doesn't have to just be the pastor, or the visiting evangelist, or the prophet that we have in, or you go to some special meeting. Thank God for what God's doing up in Lakeland, but I'm going to tell you what, we can't all get to Lakeland. Here's the thing. God wants to do something here. God wants to use you and I. God says, you have a ministry. And he says, I've given you the Holy Ghost to carry that out. Now, here's the thing. I told you, we're going to have a commissioning or a recommissioning, depending on where you're at. If you've been doing this already, then we're just going to recommission you, as it were. And I'm speaking figuratively. Jesus is the one that does it. He's the one that's already commissioned you. I'm just reminding you of it. I'm telling you about it. But here's the thing. We have to act on our commission, don't we? You know, really, that's a military term. When people, they graduate from Annapolis or they graduate, from one of the other military schools, you know what happens? They receive, on graduation day, they receive a commission. And that commission invests them with authority and ability, and then when they are sent out on their assignment, they what gives them the right to give orders, what gives them the right to act, is because what? They have a commission. Amen. Amen. You and I have been given a commission from Jesus, the head of the church. You know, in the military, the commission would, in our country, it'd be signed by, you know, probably the head of the Navy or whoever, or maybe even the president. They would have a stamp and put his signature on there. Well, we've received a commission from the head of the church. He said, I am commissioning you.
Amen. Amen.
Now, here's the thing. We need to take that commission and begin to act on it. Now, if you're willing to do that, you stand up on your feet.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't peer pressure wonderful?
Can I add something?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, the teacher in me, you know, I look at a word, you know, when God is like speaking a word to his people, like commission. And I think of, you know, when you co-labor, what are you doing? You labor together with somebody else or another group, right? Well, what is a commission? You know, you're not alone in this. God is with you on the same mission for the same purpose to affect the lives of people. It's a co-mission. Think of the word in Spanish, comisión, you know? Co, two, okay? Two part. Think about that.
Amen. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Here's where the rubber meets the road, okay? We're going to make a commitment to God. Okay? That means you're going to make a commitment to God. You're not making a commitment to me. I'm not going to go around and see if you're doing it. It's not my job anyway. Jesus is the head of the church. But here's the thing. If you're serious, I'm going to pray. And while we're praying, we're going to make a commitment. Or if need be, a recommitment. Say, God, I accept my commission. I accept it. And with your help, I am going to do it. I'm going to share the gospel as I have opportunity. I'm going to drive out the devil wherever he is revealed to me. And I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to minister like Jesus. I'm going to minister like Jesus. You don't have to say it just that way, but in some way, as I pray, you let God know in your own words, from your own heart, that you're accepting his commission. Father, I pray right now, Lord, people all over this room, they're saying to you right now, they're making their own personal commitment or recommitment to the great commission here, the ministry you've given us to preach the gospel, to drive out the devil wherever he's found, and to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Lord, this is our privilege. This is our commission from the head of the church. This is what you've called us to be active and to participate and to be involved in. Right now, Lord, with you as our helper, we're going to do it. We're going to do it more. We've been doing it some. We're going to do it more. If we haven't been doing it, we're going to start doing it. But right now, Lord, we make this commitment before you, before you, before you, before you. We make this commitment in the name of Jesus. You keep your heads bowed just for a moment longer. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. If I were to die today, I'm not sure if I'd make it to heaven. I'm not sure if my life is right with God. But I want to be sure. I want to know the forgiveness of Calvary. I want to know the washing and the cleansing of Jesus' salvation and forgiveness of sins. Please pray for me. Would you pray for me, Pastor? If that's you, would you just put your hand up anywhere in the room and I'm going to pray for you. I see that. Anyone else? I see it. I see hands, several hands in the building. Father, you see these hands. Lord, you said whoever would call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would receive salvation, forgiveness of sin. Lord, you said that you would save and deliver us. You would make us a child of God. Father, I pray that in this salvation, give them a knowing, a know-so salvation, a witness of the Spirit as they put their faith in you. As they put their faith in you. Now, right now where you're standing there, you that raise your hands, you call on the name of the Lord. The best way you know how, you call on Jesus to be your Savior. Invite Him into your life. Invite Him into your life. Receive Him by faith right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands just a moment longer, saints? Let's worship Him just a moment. Father, thank you for the ministry you've given us. Thank you, Lord. You've called us. You've anointed us, O God. You've given us your Holy Spirit, O God. You've given us a commission. You've defeated the enemy. You've gone before us and you've called us, O God, into this ministry. You've called us, O God, and we have accepted. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. This is not an empty religion. This is not just something we do on Sunday, but God, it is 7 days a week, a living, vital relationship with you, an anointing to carry on the work of the kingdom. Lord, we will share the gospel. We will drive out the enemy, and we will lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Can we give God a clap offering just before we go? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.